It's over in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. I'm so glad we got this thing sturdy just so I can lean on this. You know, Randall wanted me to spread the love with the disc golf league, but Clay doesn't take it as serious as you do, so I found little buttons that I could poke on Randall. And Clay let the team down. I mean, is that what you told me to say? I'll tell you, there's a lot of pressure when you know that it's going to be super difficult to beat the pastor. You know, I love the banter as much as I do the trophy. I'm designing the trophy right now. I think it's going to be 10 feet wide, 27 feet high, and we'll just pass it down year to year. And I think we're going to put it where that tree was back there. And just good times, good times. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11. Title of the message tonight, what is faith? Let's read these first six verses. You're very familiar with these verses. I would be shocked. I'm going to guess that 80%+ of you, you've read these verses, you've heard these verses, but let's just glean them. Let's just benefit from them. Title of the message, what is faith? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to remind you what we covered last week with Hebrews chapter 10, and it was encouragement, don't quit. Don't quit. Just look back in verse 37 of chapter 10. He says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, and that, I believe, is the Lord introducing for us why he's going to focus so much on faith. Faith is the key to victory in our Christian life. If you look at your life and there is a disconnect between what you would say, I want to do, and what I do. Now that's Romans chapter 7, right? The good that I would not, the evil which I would not, that I do. And so that's a reality. It's a struggle with this flesh. It's a struggle. Will we walk in the Spirit or will we walk in this flesh? But we can have victory. I'm going to suggest to you tonight, it's faith. As we cover all of these great victors, most of them, if I had defined them, were great losers. But they were made winners by faith in Christ. I also want you to make sure that I never get away from this. This is super important. I'll probably finish with this. That it talks about faith in some areas. That isn't necessarily, it's very rare in this chapter, but I want you to understand, the faith that pleases God is only in His Son. If you have faith apart from His Son, Jesus Christ, you cannot please God. So I want to remind you, all of Hebrews has been about Jesus. This is still that book written particularly for the Jews and for our benefit as well. But it also just speaks to them that says, this is about Jesus. I hear faith talked about so generically today. Just have faith. And I ask people, in what? Just believe. In what? Just believe in God. That's not enough. You must have faith in His Son. We'll talk about that in just a second. Let's just walk through this and let the Bible teach us about a few things. So faith. I'm going to give you a dictionary definition, and I think the dictionary definition is a reasonable definition. It's complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Now, you could have misplaced faith, but it's complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Faith in Christ is complete trust in Christ, that He's who He said He was, that He did all that He said He did, that he represents us before the Father in faith in Christ and his work will make me right with God. Complete trust, complete confidence in someone or something. I thought that was a decent definition. Well, let's see what the Bible says. The Bible says that faith is substance of things hoped for. Substance of things hoped for. Now, that word that's translated substance is translated confidence twice, confident once. It is, it's that we would have a foundation. We would have a firmness. We would have a confidence. We would, and so it's not the same word that's translated hope generally in the Bible, but the word generally in the Bible that is translated hope is confident expectation. And the reason why we have confident expectation is because our confidence is based in the promises and the work of Jesus Christ. So faith is substance. This is super important to me. You've heard it. I've told you this 1,000 times. I want you to know this. Everyone that you have a Bible study with, they think faith is some wishy-washy, whimsical, you know, like, hope, lucky. You know, they think hope is just, you know, lucky, hope, just lucky. You know, there's no such thing as luck. That's not me saying that everything is predetermined, but I want to tell you, there's no such thing as luck. You know why I hate the word luck? Who does it give credit to? Not God. The Bible tells us in James that the Father of lights is the giver of all good things. When anybody thinks they're lucky, something good happened to them, right? And so when they say, oh, I was just lucky, then you're removing glory from God. Now, we have to have a balance because you can't always be like acting like you're the favored one, right? And you need to give God the credit, God the glory, and be humble and help you understand that it's grace and mercy that leads to the blessings of God, right? It's unmerited favor. It's not getting what we deserve. It's the kindness and just the goodness of God because he's just a great God. But it's substance. We have substance. We have confidence in God. I want to remind you of this. The Bible says this. God says this in Isaiah 1. I haven't put these verses up. He said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be wool. I believe everything makes sense when you understand what God's doing. Take supernatural intervention. But when you understand all that happened in order to save you, it is reasonable because it's just and it's right. I will let no one tell me that it's an outrageous fairy tale. I will tell you, I will stand wherever I am and say, do you have a better just solution in order to remove you of your sins? If you stand before a perfect judge, a judge's job is to administer justice. How does a judge justly avoid administering justice upon you? Nobody has an answer, but the Bible does. And when you understand it, it's wow, it's mind-blowing. And that's why we have these conversations all the time. I don't know all the reasons why God does everything, and I love having these conversations. It's God never does anything, so I love saying this, so some of you don't agree with me, so I love poking the bear sometimes. So it's God never does anything because it was prophesied as his sole reason to do it. When he prophesies it, he's going to do it. But I don't think he prophesied it to put him on the spot. Well, now I have to do it because I said I would. He prophesied it because it was going to happen, because it needed to happen, because it's a big deal. When you and I find out why it was a big deal, we'll be wowed and it'll make sense. It's substance. It's the things hoped for, right? It's the things, and so the Bible says it's substance. And the Bible says it's evidence of things not seen. Substance and evidence. You understand 99% of people. In fact, I would say, let's just set aside Baptists for 1 second. 99% of churchgoers, they don't believe that faith is based on substance and evidence. They just think it's, you know, I don't know the old, probably not a nursery rhyme. I don't know what a nursery rhyme is anymore, but, you know, now I look upon a star, you know, there's something that goes like that. You know, what is it? You know, something, I look upon a star, I make a wish, and maybe it'll come true. I don't know, you know, is that what you were doing? Is that you were doing the nursery rhyme? Whatever, you know, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things. It's like, oh, that was dumb. I didn't say this, you know, so many people and so many of the doctors and nurses, when I'd go into surgery, I just wanted to say something, but I thought, I don't want to irritate them. And they'd go, good luck. Thanks for nothing. You know, that's what I wanted to say. How about something else? Got anything better than luck? Got anything? You going to buy a lottery ticket for me? That's about as good. Not going to win that either. I don't want them to buy a lottery ticket for me. But I'm telling you, I was told this past week, good luck. If any of you told me good luck, I'm not thinking of you at all. I don't remember that. Some of you are like, he's thinking about me right now. Just say, you know what? I love you. If you're not going to pray for me, don't tell you're going to pray for me because I don't want to make you a liar. That doesn't mean you're a bad person if you don't pray for me. We're busy in life, and I get all that. But faith, biblical faith, is substance. Biblical faith is evidence. Listen to Romans chapter 8. I probably should have put this because just listen to it. For we are saved by hope. The Bible uses hope and faith and confidence interchangeably many times. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, there are some things that we have seen. There are some things that we have the substance. There are some things we have the evidence. But no one's seen Jesus come back the second time yet. And so we wait patiently for that, but it's not because there's not evidence. He came the first time, and he did everything that he said he would do the first time, so I'm confident that he's coming back a second time, and I'm going to wait patiently for it, and I want to find out what he wants me to do. So faith, complete trust or confidence in someone or something, the Bible says it's substance, it's evidence. I love the Bible. It's this, faith, look at verse 2. Faith is the way to obtain a good report. Look at this. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And here's why I want to tell you how they obtained a good report. Because true saving faith, true faith in God leads to obedience and submission to God. That's why Abel pleased God. That's why Enoch pleased God. Abraham, Sarah, all on down the line. Noah, all of these people that we'll read about in Hebrews chapter 11, because real faith results in obedience and submission to God. When we don't obey, it is a lack of love, it's a lack of faith, and maybe it's a lack of, hope, faith, hope, and love. It may be all three of those wrapped in, right? The greatest of these is love. Our greatest motivation will be love for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. But understand this. It's you want a good report, for by it the elders obtained a good report, because all they did, they simply believed what God said. They were going to do it, and they were going to keep doing it, and they were going to trust in God, even if they didn't see the results that they hoped for when they hoped for. Now, when you don't see the results that you think God would be pleased with, then I think you need to study the scriptures and say, am I understanding this is what God wants? Right? I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. But the definition of saving faith that endures is, I know what God told me to do. I'm going to keep doing what God told me to do. I'm going to keep trying to be more loving. I'm going to keep trying to be more faithful. I'm going to keep trying to be more obedient. And I know this, God will be pleased and he'll be honored. Nobody knows anything about Enoch. We're going to get to him in just a second. But the Bible said he pleased God so much that God said, I want you full time. I want you full time. We'll talk about all of that. But it is faith. The way to obtain a good report, you obey God. Find out what God wants, do what God wants, and you keep doing what God wants, and that's going to be a constant rotation of repentance and confession and being made right with God, but continue to trust Him, continue to do what's right. I'm not interested. I mean, look, I'm always ears wide open. Todd's investigating an opportunity that we may have, may not be anything, of using social media to try to interact with people, get some Bible studies, see if we can get some increased interaction with our community, right? So I'm interested in that, but I don't know. I'm not that interested in changing that much. Here's where I'm at. I don't want it to be boring. I don't want it to be boring. But the time we gather together, I want our focus to be on Christ. I want it to be on a recharging station so that we go out and we serve Him. The challenge for every one of us in this room is not church time, is it? You do well when you're in church. I think you're sinning less when you come to church. How many would agree with that? I sin less when I come to church. I've never seen anybody yell at their wife yet at church. Get here too early, you might see it if Deb and I get here early and we drive in the same car. Because, man, she yells at me a lot. She does not. She does not. That often. I deserve it all. But it is, we do better. The issue is when we leave. It's faith. It's faith. It's faith. So I wanted to show you this, that it leads to a good report. It leads to understanding God's creation. Now let's look at verse 3. There's some goofy things said about verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God did not make the world by faith. It's through faith we understand. You should follow me? God made the world by His words. It wasn't by faith. It was by His words. I don't think there's any place in the Scripture that says God has faith. God doesn't need to have faith. God knows all. Everything He does is right. Everything He does is loving. Everything He does is good. So this isn't talking about God's faith. He says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so it leads to understanding God's creation, that they were framed by the Word of God, and the things seen were not made of the things which do appear. There was a common teaching around the first century. You think evolution's new. The common teaching was that everything was here, and then God made everything that we see out of what was already here. And God says, not so. God deals with the dilemma. He says, it came from nothing. It came from My Word. And I'm telling you that, and it's framed by the Word of God. Let's look at this verse in Psalm chapter 33. It says, by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heat. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So I don't want anybody to doubt. How did everything get here? The Word of God. He spoke it into existence. It wasn't the Big Bang. You see, theistic evolution that wants to apply to the Big Bang would violate Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Because the Big Bang has to have a bunch of stuff to bang. Right? So the question is, for the Big Bangers, where did everything come from? They can't answer that question. But God deals with the difficult. He says, it came from My mouth. And He said, faith, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I will tell you, those believers that reject that God created everything by His Word, from His Word, from nothing, they lack faith that'll please God. Didn't say they weren't saved. I want to tell you, you should be challenged by this. Let's just read this again. Through faith, faith that pleases God, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's big enough for God to put it in this chapter that says, you want to believe in Me? Then you probably should believe in Me from the very beginning. I made it all. I spoke it into its existence. That's how it came. I don't know if we have anybody in this room that disagrees. We love you if you disagree. But you need to take this up with God and look at this passage and say, I am fighting against God. And you know what I tell you it is? It's sin. The Bible tells us in Romans 14, for whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. And so I know that's bold to say that, right? To say, if I don't believe that God spoke everything to existence, it's sin. Well, it's not faith of God. So that's a big deal. But I also want to tell you this. When you find people that disagree with you, that's not a hill I'm going to die on. You know, the hill I'm going to die on is the gospel hill of Jesus Christ. Here's what I believe. When people want to fight over that, it's because they do not know Christ the way they should. I didn't say they're not saved. They've been influenced. This world wants to influence you. This world wants to take credit away from God. But I'm telling you, what they need is they need to get their eyes on Christ. Do not fight the battle of whether or not, you know, we have a young earth or not. I just tell people simply, you know, I give them all, I say, well, you know why evolution in the Bible cannot agree. For evolution to be true, death came before sin. And for you to believe in evolution, you have to claim the Bible's wrong. That's a big deal for me. I want you to study it. I want you to understand it. This is an issue that people have. If the devil gets his nose in this area, he may get an inroads to destroy your life. Why do you think evolution's so pushed? It's so ridiculous. I mean, I've got two scientists right here, right? And I'm guessing, now don't, you know, you guys bought into it at one time because, man, they were authorities. You were told to respect authority and listen to authorities and probably didn't know your Bible good enough. I'm not beating you up about that. You know, I'm not. And, man, they seemed to know what they were talking about, right? And when you step back a little bit, God's ways make a lot more sense, don't they? But man, the peer pressure, is it not? I want to tell you, it's not a hill worth dying on, even at your workplace. Because I'm not worrying about that hill. It's the hill that Jesus died on that we need to promote, we need to exalt, we need to tell folks about, right? But it is, the peer pressure is amazing. You guys aren't dummies. Yeah, okay, let me rethink that. But you're not dummies, but man, the peer pressure. How many of you used to believe in evolution? I mean, that's not, I'm surprised there's not more hands. You're blessed if you had, you're not stupid if you did. You know, we believe in things that are wrong, that are dumb, that we get in the Bible, we find out the world was telling me this, and that's not true at all. You see, what I love is God's pro-science. He's pro-evidence. He's pro-substance. God's the one that created science. The word science just means knowledge. I want to know this earth. And God said right away to Adam, he said, subdue the earth and learn it. I want you to understand it so that you can enjoy this earth that I've given you. And so faith in God leads us to understanding this critical element that understanding God's creation. I want to look at two people. We looked at Psalm. I want to look at two people then, just Abel, and I will look at Enoch. And let's learn two things from these men. Now, here's what I want. I believe this shifts. I want to take you. I'm going to, so you don't see it. Okay. And then I'm going to go back. You're like, oh, we have that many slides to go. John chapter 5 is the foundational truth of faith. And when the Bible talks about faith in God, it's talking about faith in Jesus Christ. It's used interchangeably, so don't get confused about that. I want you to look at John chapter 5 and just walk through this with me. Jesus is walking with them, and he's increasing the fever pitch. He's increasing the fever pitch of going to the cross. And Jesus answered them. Let's just look at this, and I'll turn around. Jesus answered them and says, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work, my Father." So they knew exactly what he was saying. You're going to see here. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him. And Jesus was turning up the heat. He wanted to be killed, but now's about time. He was avoiding them, and now you see him begin to turn up the heat in John chapter 5. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They knew. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, he didn't back off. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise, like Father, like Son. Verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. You see what Jesus is doing? He's saying this, I only do what the Father showed me. And he's telling them this, if you think my Father's judging you, I will judge you. He's turning up the heat. And then he brings this verse here, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent me. Jesus' message, see, the Jews were trying to separate Jesus from the Father. It's what many false religions do. If you're successful in separating Jesus from the Father, then Jesus becomes irrelevant ultimately. Every false religion that separates Jesus from the Godhead has become irrelevant, and Jesus isn't the focal point. But Jesus said, if you don't honor me, you can't honor my Father. And if you don't have faith in Christ, you cannot please or honor the Father. I never want to get away from that. That message is just as clear here to this Jewish audience in chapter 11 as it was in all the first 10 chapters where Jesus was spoken of every other word. And so now what I want us to learn is, I'm going to go back. Some of you guys spaz out. And you're like, oh, I tried to catch that and write it down early. And so let's look at Abel. Let's look at three things with Abel. Let's read verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, I've read, now, I'm a little hard sometimes on commentaries. I've read commentaries that say this. It wasn't that Cain's sacrifice was better, I mean, that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's. It was that Cain had more faith. You know what I think about that? It stopped right before your shoes. And so, listen to what some commentators say. It wasn't that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's, it's that Cain had more faith. That Abel had more faith than Cain. Did I butcher it the first time too? Let me try it one more time. It wasn't that Abel's sacrifice was better than Cain's, but it was that Abel had more faith than Cain. How many of you believe that? I won't raise your hand after I spit on you. No. Let me tell you, it's the same thought. Abel and Cain both knew what God had commanded. And there is some suggestion here. I think Cain's looked way better. Imagine this. Imagine, what's that company called? Fruit Delicious or something, you know, that delivers, you know, these like pineapple things and you eat them. What's it called? What is it? Edible Arrangements, right? I mean, so imagine this. Have an edible arrangement delivered to your house or a dead lamb. Which would look more attractive? Which would look more, oh, that's really nice. I give you that example to say, I believe that Cain in his rebellion said, nobody will make a better looking sacrifice than I will. And I believe he knew what God had commanded, that there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood. And I don't believe that Abel believed that the shedding of the lamb's blood would forgive his sin, but I believe it was pointing to the Messiah that his faith was in, and I believe Abel knew that. And so if you believe these commentators, just bear with me. All of a sudden we get in this silly game of what is faith. And all of a sudden we're like, and you know, I mean, you think I'm constipated or something there, but it's a, you know, what do you do? What do you do? You're just trying to think harder? Believe harder, right? Obey better. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice, right? Obey better. James tells us this. Just listen to James 2:18. Yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. God wants us to be doers of the word, but by faith. You see, there is a fine line. We talked about it a little bit this morning. Am I doing it for Steve? Am I doing it for God? You see, I can do acts of service and it'd be all about me so that I look good, so that you'll praise me, others will think well of me, and I don't believe it honors God. I believe he's honored with my heart, and my heart's right with him, and I do it all for his honor and his glory. That's when he's pleased. I don't believe it's because Abel was like, I believe my sacrifice is going to be accepted more than yours. That's what the commentators would suggest, right? Could you go nuts? Zach, can you define then what it means to really believe? You know what I think it means to believe? I'm going to obey God. I want to find out what God wants. And I'm going to trust in God. When God brings something to my life, I'm going to trust in God. I don't know what that looks like. Increase my faith. You know what I'm asking for? Increase my submission. Increase my obedience. Increase my love, that I will honor you and I'll truly lose my life that I may gain it. I've never lost my life. Never sacrificed my life. But when my faith gets to the point where it should be and I honor Christ, then I become, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I do what he wants me to do. I don't think it's because Abel believed his sacrifice would be better than Cain's, or he believed that God, you follow me? He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain because the excellent sacrifice is the sacrifice that God demands. You know why Christ was a more excellent sacrifice? Because it's the only sacrifice that would satisfy God. He was the more excellent sacrifice, and that's what Cain was picturing, and God said, no vegetable will be able to do that for me. Now, I know this. There's a component of faith that's trust, and we just must trust the Lord. But I'm telling you, when faith begins to deteriorate, my obedience falls apart. I want to help you understand this. Faith leads to obedience. Show me somebody that's in disobedience, including myself. I'm not right with God. Period. My faith is not in the King and trust in him, or else I would do what's right and I would offer the more excellent sacrifice. But I spend my life giving God what I think he would like versus knowing the scriptures and saying, I'll do it your way. You see, there's two songs to be sung. Frank Sinatra, I'll do it my way. That's Cain. And the other song that hasn't been written yet, I'll do it your way. That's a tough song to sing because it sounds so prideful. But I want to help you understand this. What does faith look like? Obedience. Obedience. So Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Look at this. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And it was by faith. It was by faith believing, God, this is what you told me. I'm not going to listen to my older brother. I'm going to do what you told me, even though it's messy, nasty, bloody, and it's a mess. Who wants to kill a lamb? But if that's what God says, I need to do it. And he offered a more excellent sacrifice. I'd love to talk to you about that because maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but I hope you understand faith. Doesn't it help you a little bit? That it's not, just not believing harder. I'll go nuts. So I know when my faith is right is when I walk with him and I love him and I treat my wife right, and that's a big deal for me, treating her right. And she'll say, he is lacking faith today. And so it is. I'm telling you, she is one of my barometers. That's why I bring her up all the time. You know this? I tell you this. I know what happens. When I get right with God, I'm going to die or something. I'll be the husband I was supposed to be. And I'll be like, ah! Have a heart attack. She's a big barometer for me. You understand that? She's a gift God's given me. And I need to treat her as the gift and the child of the King. She's a daughter of the King, and I need to treat her as such. If I don't, what's it called? Sin. And my faith isn't where it should be. Abel just did what God said to do. I want to simplify all of this because I've gone on. That's what faith is. Just do what God says. But then I want to show you this, and so there's a lot of debate. It was validated by God. Look at this in verse 4. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. I don't know if that was while Abel was still alive, or if it was after Cain killed Abel. It could have just been God's testimony to Cain, but some seem to think that maybe God brought fire down from heaven. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But somehow God said that he gave witness to Abel that said, Abel, you were right. Cain knew it. And so I want you to understand this. God will encourage you. God's not asking us just to obey him without any validation. Isn't that good? I don't think we ought to be validation seekers, but I think we ought to be validation noticers. What's the difference? You see, Steve, when we do what's right, you know what God's going to say? Attaboy. Here you go, Steve. Yeah, Flynn now, so I'm treating you like a dog, right? Like, you know, but it's, God will validate. God will encourage. That's our good God. That's why I want to be a better pastor. I want to encourage. I want to validate. I want to be thankful. God validated Abel. And then Cain's faith carried on past his death. I love that. I'm living for that. That my faith, not because it's so great a faith, it's because I serve so great a God, that when I pass from this earth, God's still going to use maybe some seed that I planted that I had no idea I planted that seed. Maybe it was one word that I said that was just, I don't know. It was just cool today. I was just so encouraged. We stopped at Thornton's. Your reunion of such, I didn't get out of the car, so Deb went in to get my diet Mountain Dew, and lo and behold, they didn't have lids for the 44 ounce, so Deb knew I'd be incredibly discouraged, so she came out and said, they only have lids for the 32 ounce. And I said, well, I'll suffer for the king. And I didn't say that. And so I said, well, go get one 32 ounce. And Pamela was there. And Deb got to meet Pamela, and I thought that was good. And these little things, I'm telling you, this was just a little validation of God for me. I know it sounds silly. So Pamela gave us two free 32-ounce Diet Mountain Dews. When Deb came out with one, I thought, woman, why are you spending 89 cents on you? We can't afford two people to buy. No, I didn't say that. But she's bringing out two, and I was like, wait a minute, hey, look. Similar colors. I thought, is that 64 ounces of heavenly liquid? And here's what I loved. Pamela was out the window. She gave both of those on the house, and she has to record those and put it under her account. She gets so many when she works. And she was waving out the window. And you know what I thought? Okay, God, I won't give up on Pamela. Pamela's still interested in the things of God. And I know it just took a wave. And I was already elated that I got two free 32-ounce Diet Mountain Dews. I'm not sure which was validation, the Diet Mountain Dews or Pamela's wave. But look for God. It'll be worth it all when we see him. Abel did the difficult thing. He bucked his big brother. And you can see Cain was a bully. Killed him. And Abel said, I'm going to do what God said. And finally, let's just look at Enoch. Trying not to get too controversial here. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, for his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So just so you know, by faith, Enoch was translated. He was removed. I believe Enoch's body is dead, so if you ask me, Enoch's body died. Enoch did not see death the way we see death. The word see there, if you want to see it, the word see there, so I'm not trying to be controversial. I don't believe there are any exceptions for the wages of sin is death. I don't. I believe when the trumpet sounds, if the trumpet sounded right now, my old body will be dead and I'll get a new body. It'll be transformed. And so if you want to call it that, my old body will die and I'll get a new body. Enoch and Elijah did not see death the way you and I see death. Here's all that means: to perceive with the eyes or to perceive by any of the senses, to perceive, notice, discern, or discover. I don't think Enoch felt a thing. Twing! He was in heaven. It's okay if you disagree. The reason I am strong on that, there's no exception for the wages of sin is death. I don't believe there are any exceptions. I don't believe even it's an exception in the rapture. I believe it might be a picture of what happens in the rapture, But my old body, I want it to be dead, Noah, even if the trumpet sounds right now. I don't want to find out, what? My old body's still alive? No, the Lord says, took care of that. And what does that mean? It's dead. And that will be glory for me. Not trying to be too controversial, but by faith he was translated. This is an amazing thing. By faith he did not see death. I just talked that. By faith he had a testimony that he pleased God. It is, if you understand this, these first two men represent Christianity. Abel received by faith the more excellent sacrifice, and that's the sacrifice of the Messiah. Then by faith we are to live to honor the King. There's one reason to live. That's to please God. To please my Abba Father. To please my Heavenly Father. Is that not why Jesus came? He came to please the Father and to do His will. We've just summed up Christianity tonight. The only way Christianity is possible is the more excellent sacrifice. And what Christianity is about, it's about pleasing God. It's not that difficult. It's about knowing what He said. And this is the tough part, doing it. Just doing it. I love getting older. I still have hope. I still have hope that one year, I'm going to be husband of the year. I've come in last place for 35 straight years. And I still believe I can come in first. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Christ. And if I love Jesus Christ, Gordon, the way I should, and I believe Him, and I know Him, and I obey Him, you're looking at husband of the year. I was hoping my wife might amen. I'm not living to be husband of the year. It'll be an outcome. And then I'll quickly go through these. The only way to please God is by faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. You know, Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you don't believe that God is, you're a fool. Love the fools. God has saved fools. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, I've seen folks, they try to say, well, then the Bible says that this is a different way of salvation. Are you kidding me? Do not let this verse all of a sudden detour you and say, well, where's faith in Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, he that cometh to God, you must first believe that God is. Duh. Duh. Right? How can you have faith in somebody that you don't believe exists? Right? And I want you to understand this. It's a component of faith in Christ. If you don't understand that God has your best interest, why would you ever trust in His Son? I've never known anybody that was skeptical that was born again. You know, I'm talking at the time of their new birth, right? They believed what God said, and they said, I can trust Him, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. But then I want to just finish with this. Keep seeking. Keep walking with Him. Keep abiding in Him. He'll reward you. And I'm telling you, He'll reward you this side of heaven and the other side of eternity, because He's a good God. Do you believe that? I believe it right now. I want to believe it 24 hours from now. I want to believe it, and maybe it's you. You want to believe it when your kids are absolute jerks. I want you to believe it when your spouse is not what you intended. I want you to believe it when your boss totally is an idiot. You should never call them an idiot. I'm just telling you, bosses can be dumb, right? You need to love them and realize this. God's told me to submit to this person, smart or not. They're not my enemy. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to obey Him today. Faith. One step at a time, one day at a time. We have just less than 5 hours to go on Sunday. Let's finish well. Let's wake up on Monday. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And say, Lord, I want to live for you as though it's my first day of being saved. Help me live for you on Monday. I want to live for Christ. I want to finish Sunday. And if God gives me Monday, I want to live for him on Monday. And you know the key, Joe? One word. Joe? Thank you, Joe. Joe, I was going to re-preach my message if you hadn't gotten that one word. It's complete trust that God knows what he's doing. Let's not forget God on Monday. And I don't think anybody intends that to happen. Monday comes and it's a whirlwind. When it's a whirlwind, step back and get back focused on God. You can do it by faith. Let's pray. Father, you are